Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear your message for us this day. The first lesson, the scripture lesson this morning, is from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent me." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them the bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to this world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks.
Thank you, Ruth Ann. So during my last 2 years at undergrad at Central Connecticut State University in New Britain, Connecticut, where I was studying TV and video production, that didn't quite pan out. Faith was slowly being reignited within me. It had been lying dormant for a few years and basically collecting dust, but it was springing to life again. And so I sought out some kind of community where I could be among fellow Christians and my relationship with God could continue to be formed, but I had no idea how to find it. And so one fall day, walking through the CCSU campus, I saw a poster that was advertising answers to questions about the second coming of Jesus and the end times. The end times being God's ushering in of a new age. So I thought it sounded kind of interesting, so I decided to attend. And that night, besides the group that was leading it, it was just me and one other person. And yes, the end times were just around the corner. They were coming soon. But looking for a Christian community, I ended up joining this group and met with them regularly for Bible study and other gatherings. And the group was made up of just males, four of them, and they all lived together in a house off campus, which naturally kept them from what usually goes on at a college campus. And for a couple months, I got to know them and experienced faith with them. But I always felt like I was two or three or four steps behind them in terms of their spirituality or faith formation. They were just in a different place than me, and I couldn't fully reconcile that. So I was in their house one afternoon after class and with one of them, and I walked by one of their bedrooms and noticed on his desk a picture frame that had these words inside it: "Eat Christ. Eat Christ." I remember seeing it and feeling uncomfortable. In many ways, it was a very accurate phrase for this group of guys. They consumed Jesus at every corner of their lives, from daily Bible study to set times for prayer, to fasting, to multiple visits to their church throughout the week, to only listening to Christian music. That phrase was who they were. They took every opportunity to ingest Jesus into their lives. And for me, at the time, I very much wanted to meet for Bible study and learn and grow in my relationship with God. However, in the drive home from Bible study, I still wanted to listen to Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd. I still do. I didn't want to fully seclude myself from the world. But there was also the literal aspect of that phrase that made me uncomfortable. I very much wanted to be filled with God's Spirit and God's life. But the idea of eating Christ just seemed a bit weird to me. Which may be how you're hearing today's scripture. The story comes right on the heels of John's version of the feeding of the 5,000. That with a mere 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus feeds thousands of people, and very well. Everyone left with full stomachs. There are even leftovers that day. At the end of our reading, Jesus seems to equate himself to food that we are invited to eat. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Eat Christ, our scripture is telling us. So let's back up just for 1 second. So "I am the bread of life" is one of 7 "I am" statements spoken by Jesus in John's gospel. So later on in John, Jesus will say, "I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life," and so on. And John has Jesus using these great metaphors that shine a light on who Jesus is. But in John, Jesus also has a way of talking about something literal or physical, but he's actually talking about something else at the same time. So in John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about being born again, but he's not talking about physically being born again. In John chapter 4, he has this conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, and they're talking about water, but he's not really talking about water with her. In John chapter 6, he's talking about bread, but Jesus is not really talking about bread, is he? He's talking about something much different than simply eating a meal and filling our stomachs. Those that were just fed a few verses back at the feeding of the 5,000 have been tracking him down to get fed again. And Jesus pivots and says, "If you are to eat the bread that I'm offering, well, this bread will fill you up in a whole different way." So there's something very mysterious about Jesus' statement here. And I find it very hard to intellectualize this statement, and I want to, or come up with a set of bullet points of why Jesus is the bread of life, and here's how everyone should consume him. So 2 chapters before, Jesus has the conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, "Whoever drinks of the water from this well will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water I give them will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." you can't just intellectualize those verses. And I think they need to be experienced more than understood. And it's fairly easy and sometimes quite common to connect those verses to how my friends at Central Connecticut State University were living and experiencing God. And so if to eat Christ looks exactly as how they were living, well, we could sometimes say, I can't do that. That's not for me. I'm incapable of giving myself to God and to faith in that particular way. And so sometimes we can take verses like, I am the bread of life, and we can kind of toss them over in the corner and say, I'll leave that for someone else. Or that verse is for them, or for that group of Christians, but not for me, not for us. If you were here last Sunday, the high school teens who traveled to Montreat, North Carolina, the week prior to experience the Montreat Youth Conference, led us in worship. And they were great. We got home Saturday night, and five of them immediately went to work crafting thoughtful reflections. And this past week, as I reflected upon Montreat, I noticed that they each ate the bread that Jesus offers in our scripture today. They consumed the bread of life, but they chewed on it in their own way. I noticed that it looked a little different for each of them. They experienced it in different ways, but they all ate. And so Elijah experienced an invitation to love those that he disagrees with, especially when it comes to politics. Grace wrestled with scripture she hadn't heard before, which opened her eyes to a new way of understanding God. Rebecca owned her own story and had the courage to share it, which gave others the courage to share theirs. Max felt the calling to look for opportunities to lift the voices of those who often go silenced. Camille clarified some of her beliefs regarding the ongoing story of race in our country and in the state she now lives in, Alabama. Thomas felt that truly living his faith is not just a one-year experience on a mission trip or at Montreat, but a daily invitation. And he also felt the challenge to lift the voices of those who often go silenced. And Caroline's eyes were open to the role her relationship with God and Christianity as a whole has in all aspects of her life. Throughout our week in Montreat, they all fed on what Jesus calls the true bread from heaven. This bread that brings life and purpose and meaning and a whole lot of challenge. And this bread is extended to each of us every day. And it'll probably be experienced in different ways for all of us. But there is a catch to this bread. To eat this bread that Jesus offers, you have to be hungry. You have to be a little hungry for it. You have to want it. You have to desire it. Jesus in chapter 6 is telling us, as is this meal that we are about to experience, the Lord's Supper, that God is the food that is offered to us. And the promise is that it will fill us up and bring us life and purpose and meaning and challenge. But we have to be hungry for it. We have to come hungry. And so maybe a good God hunger, a good hunger for God in our lives, begins with the acknowledgement that there is more waiting for us in this life with God. There is always more waiting for us. And if we are to live authentically in this journey with God, we have to learn to be a little hungry each and every day. We have to learn to every day leave a little room inside of us that can only be filled by someone else. Thanks be to God.